So I'm here with Martin Gretschel now, who's the outgoing secretary of the International Mathematical Union. So maybe first off, could you tell us what the International Mathematical Union is for?
Well, the International Mathematical Union, as the word says, is the worldwide association or organization of mathematics, and our members are countries. It's not individuals, also not societies, but countries. Mm-hmm. And the IMU organizes international contact. Of course, our foremost project is the International Congress of Mathematicians, but we have many, many projects for developing countries, for mathematical education, for publication. We are working on the World Digital Mathematics Library. Projects in order to design best practices for certain issues in mathematics, how to behave as an author, making publications openly available using open access. Recommendations of that type are worked out by the International Mathematical Union. Just recently, we released at the General Assembly a statement, an advice or recommendation how to evaluate mathematicians individually, because that's not so easy. Mathematics has a broad perspective. There are people working in applications, some in pure research, some in education, and they work differently and they cannot be evaluated all in the same way. And also they cannot be evaluated like a biologist or a medical doctor and so on. And that's why we give advice to institutions how to evaluate our colleagues.
And how do you evaluate a mathematician?
Our main suggestion is make personal evaluations. Don't rely solely on numbers. Areas of science use age factors or impact factors.
So that depends on publications and the journals they're published in.
Of course, we have to look at publications, but we don't believe that these so-called objective numbers, which are not objective at all, are the pure and only measure to evaluate a person. We usually tell that one first have to look at the profile that a certain person has to fulfill, satisfy, and then make personalized evaluations, taking into account publication, teaching, outreach, and so on. And there is no automatic way where an administrator pushes a button and out comes an evaluation.
Mm. So it's a more holistic approach, really.
Yes.
And it's interesting that you mention outreach as well. So
yes.
Is outreach something that is valued then in a researcher if they contribute to spreading their work to the wider world?
I have to say that, say, 30, 40 years ago, mathematicians were the worst in outreach. But that has changed, and now many universities also value the outreach work of mathematicians. And IMU puts emphasis on this, in particular since we are interested in education in schools, and if the children in school do not know what mathematics really is, where it can be used and what it is good for, then we will not have the future mathematician. They will go to other subjects. But we believe that mathematics is the most important scientific endeavor of this century, and it builds the basis of all the other sciences. There's not a single scientific area that does not use mathematics, so it's very important that at all levels we have good education. And without good math teachers, without good mathematics professors, and without excellent research, we will not be able to cover that, and the progress in science, technology, and economy will slow down.
Mm.
And that is why we put emphasis on publicizing what we do, how we do it, and why it is exciting. We do not claim that mathematics is easy, but we believe that every individual can learn mathematics if appropriately taught. So that means we have to concentrate on teacher education, but there is nothing like a best teacher. Teaching depends on cultural developments, local situations, the social environment, and so on. So one person can be a good teacher in one situation, another person in another, and so there is a multitude of approaches.
And another thing that ties in with that, and that has been quite prominent in this Congress, is the mathematics in developing countries.
Yes.
And there are several things that the IMU is doing as well. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. We have a committee on developing countries that has done marvelous work in order to open up our approach to the developing countries. And particularly important was this NANUM project here in Korea. The Korean mathematicians collected from private sources and industry money in the range of $2 million in order to invite 1,000 mathematicians from developing countries. So we never had such a large representation from developing countries. And this is a wonderful way now to network to these countries, because many of, say, the developing countries in Africa have never heard of IMU and the work IMU does for them. So we are now trying to use this opportunity here to bring these countries into our network and help them develop. And so this now goes in connection with our International Commission on Mathematical Instruction that has come up with these CANP project, capacity and networking in project in developing countries, where they bring together teachers of teachers, so educators of teachers, not only from one country, but from small countries, neighboring countries, so they build networks, provide teaching material, and so on. So they had CAN projects already in Mali, in Cambodia, in Costa Rica, another one will be in Tanzania soon. So these are countries where they are not well prepared and well organized, but IMU through ICMAI and CDC helps to get organized. And CDC has had this MENAO project here where we showed wonderful cases of mathematical development that came through mathematical endeavors of various kind, and they were usually dependent on local situations where mathematicians from the outside helped local mathematicians to develop, and we showed how mathematics could help improve the lives of the people. And a wonderful story was told by Edvard Lungo, which I will not tell here in detail, how he developed as a mathematician in times when there was apartheid in South Africa, and where the black population had enormous difficulties to get reasonable education.
How did he do it?
He confessed that he stole a book. In his time, his country was divided into four subgroups of people. There were the black, the colored, the Indians, and the white. Initially, they had the same book, math books, but then the blacks only got native mathematics, some stupid math books. And he stole one from the white and books, and that's how he learned by himself and decided to become a mathematician. And so we have to overcome still hurdles of that type in certain countries and areas. Mm-hmm. And that was a wonderful story, a personal story. On the other hand, Edward, remember the first name, Hanushek, is an economist who is working in the field of educational economics. And he demonstrated that the growth of a country very strongly depends on education, and the education particularly depends on education in mathematics. And the better the mathematics education in a developing country is, the steeper is the ascent of a country in economic growth. And the reason for that is, of course, not only that they learn mathematics, but with mathematics they learn certain skills, namely to concentrate, to make come up with abstract thoughts, abstraction in itself, modeling, and what have you. All this is overcoming frustration and drilling deep holes and so on. And these mathematical studies also teach students to learn in other subjects more thoroughly, and then they become good engineers or good economists and the like. So this is a basic education that
transferable
mm-hmm. skills.
And one thing I found became quite apparent at this Congress in particular is that there is this, that creativity is a very big aspect of mathematics. If you look at some of the citations or what has been said about some of the Fields medalists and other winners, there there are words like creativity, making connections between different areas, seeing patterns, and having an instinct. Is that something, that aspect of math, something that you think might be missing in some of the school education?
Definitely, this is the case. I mean, in many schools and many teachers still teach that way. You have, here is the problem, and here's a recipe how to solve the problem, okay? So what you do is you learn recipes, how to solve a quadratic equation or something that everybody remembers from high school. But you are not taught why you get to this equation and how you discover this. In the really successful countries where math education has improved significantly, have taken the approach of teaching this kind of research for students, namely to figure out by themselves why things go this way or the other way, because then you remember much better how to solve problems, and but just learning recipes is not a good way to learn mathematics. And so we have to find a mix of these things. Of course, if you have to do every little detail in mathematics with the research approach, you will never get to anywhere, because you have to cover certain material.
You have to learn thousands of years of mathematics.
Yes, thousands of years of mathematics need to be taught in some way. So the mix of recipe and creative teaching and creative learning is important. And that mix has to be found, and people have learned that and are working on educational plans for that.
And another thing that has been quite inspirational about this particular ICM is that it's the first time ever that a woman has received a Fields Medal. Could you comment on that?
Well, this is wonderful. I mean, there's not much difference between women and men. Of course, we appear to be different, but I don't think that our thoughts are very different. And there's no female mathematics and no male mathematics or the like. And they do the same mathematics. Well, the reason why there were no women is most likely because the number of female mathematicians was much lower. And in my generation, very few women got into the level of professorships, and that has changed now. So there are many, many more women actively in mathematics and, say, doing more aggressive research in this sense. When you want to reach that level, you have to work day and night. There's no choice. And in former times, women thought of a different role for their own development, and I think that was one of the reasons why there were no women in former time. Not so many women, there were a few, but that is changing, and that is a wonderful development, I think.
Mm, no, it's great. And it was great as well that in the during the opening ceremony at some point we had three women there. We had the president of South Korea, we had the president of the IMU, and we had a Fields medalist. And
yes,
three women amongst, I think, a total of 13 were on stage. So that
yes,
was nice to see. I was wondering, though, whether the age limit of a Fields medal, so you have to be under 40, whether that is an impediment to women, do you think, because they may be wanting to bring up children before, and maybe their career paths are different?
Yes, this is a story that has been going on all the time. So I have been involved in IMU affairs since 1994, for 20 years, and each time somebody says we have to change rules. Okay, so every age limit is unfair, in particular if you give a prize only every 4 years. So a person born on 31st of December can get the prize, one on the 1st of January next year cannot get the prize because of age limit. So there is unfairness there, but this holds true for every rule like this. So other people claim that, say, in Israel or other countries, people have to do military service for 5 years or 3 years, and they cannot do mathematics. They have disadvantages, and you go around the world, there are disadvantages everywhere. Somebody in an underdeveloped country has no chance to learn mathematics in school and so on. So there are good reasons to say there is unfairness. But the world is not fair. This is something that we have to learn as well. And so the question is, what do we want to change it? How do we want to change it? If you go from 40 to 45 or 44, it's still unfair. I mean, this is the point. There will be some unfairness, and you have to live with some unfairness. So the General Assembly discussed this at length, and we have recently created the so-called IMU Circle. This is a group of people who have served IMU in past years in prominent positions and who are experienced with IMU, and there will be a new committee that will investigate this matter.
And you are about to hand over to a colleague as secretary. What's the biggest challenge ahead in the next 10 years?
Oh, the biggest challenge in the next 10 years. So what we are currently, just at this Congress, working hard is the World Digital Mathematics Library. So there has been a meeting 2 days ago, and tomorrow will be a panel on this. And actually, this is implementing a dream I had 20 years ago, namely having every mathematical publication of all time on the web, accessible by everyone.
That's
and
brilliant,
so on.
Yeah.
And of course, it is a dream that will never come true in the full sense. But now we have some powerful supporters, technically and financially, who also believe that this is a great goal. And right now, a group has been established the day before yesterday to write the roadmap for the next steps, and this will be done within this year. And then moves will be made, and there are promises by companies to help, and some financial contributions will be there. So I very strongly believe that we will make a big step in the next years towards that library. And that will be not just reading paper, but then connecting this with computer algebra systems, that you can pick out equations and move them into this computer algebra, see whether they are correct, or link it to others and so
on. That's amazing.
So there will be a lot of technical development coming together with the library. So in order to bring in more mathematical tools for mathematicians to study, so mathematics should be available for everyone in the world, and that also will help the developing countries again.
Don't need to steal books anymore.
So there will be just a multiplicity of various ways to educate, present your research, and do your research. And what is very clear is everything is becoming much, much more international. If you see all the networks of people working together, who publishes with whom, where, it's just amazing to see how networked we are. So, and IMU will play a good role in that respect. Also, I mean, integrating the developing world in a stronger way. The one problem there is that they are usually relatively unorganized. So we have to help them get organized and so on, and that also creates more work. So we will be busy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.